Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Joe. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with points and miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. Welcome, everybody. We are so glad you are here. My name is Mary Ellen. I'm here with my co-host, Joanna. We are glad that you're allowing us to help guide you through this points and miles journey. If you have been wondering about the world of points and miles, how people are able to earn enough points to take not just one trip, but multiple trips each year, you're in the right place because today we are going to explain how opening credit cards strategically can help you earn hundreds of thousands of points each year.
We're going to work our way through some of the major foundational concepts that you need to know. Since starting this hobby, both of us have taken trips that we literally never could have imagined were possible. I wish that you would go back and listen to some of our old episodes because you will hear some amazing stories. We're both very, very hardworking moms on a serious budget. We don't have a bunch of extra income just sitting around to travel the world, but we still want those experiences for our kids and for ourselves. So this is where award travel comes in. It makes things possible that you did not think were possible. And it does not take as long as you think it does to enjoy your first travel redemption. I used to save for years and years for one trip. But you can start now, and then you can be taking a trip literally this year if you listen to our strategies and learn from us.
I think that's what a lot of people miss. They think, okay, I'm going to start this thing and it's still going to take a long time. It doesn't have to. You can do this and you can actually be traveling very, very soon. So let's give you the goods that you really need to know in order to get started. The world of points and miles is changing all the time. It is fluid. There's always new things to learn, which is why we release a podcast episode twice a week. We try to keep you up to date. It's also why we have a Facebook group. So go join us over there. The link is in our show notes. But today we've got the basics wrapped up into this one episode so that you can get the ball rolling. You can learn a lot as you go, but here are the most critical things to know as you begin.
Yeah, and if you are already an expert, this is a great episode to send to a friend to get started for them. So if you've ever tried to explain this and you feel like your friends are not grasping it or they worry that you are in an MLM, send them this episode. We will help get them started. So the first thing we want to teach you about is the welcome offer. And this is the bread and butter of points and miles that allows you to earn huge chunks of points really, really quickly. A lot of people have a misconception that points and miles is putting all your spend on one card and really slowly earning points. And that is just not the case. These are often referred to as subs, which stands for sign up bonuses. And many people who travel on points are constantly working towards earning a new sign up bonus. As soon as they finish earning one, they often move right on to earning another.
So let's give you some examples of what a standard sign-up bonus looks like. So in general, this is just a generic offer. It could say, okay, if you sign up for this travel rewards credit card, you will earn 75,000 points for signing up, say for the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Capital One Venture or Capital One Venture X cards. Those are just examples of cards. And then they will add a timeline and a spending requirement for earning the bonus. Like after spending $4,000 in the first, say, 3 months. This varies by the card, but they will offer a big chunk of points for spending a certain amount in a specific length of time. And depending on the velocity that you feel comfortable with, you could sign up for, you know, a couple cards a year.
Before we take this any further, there are a few things that I definitely need to say. We need to set ground rules here because we are not financial advisors and we are not encouraging you to accumulate debt. I think some people think of debt and credit cards synonymously, and that is absolutely not what we teach here in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it is the very opposite. Please do not get into award travel with credit cards if you do not plan to pay off your entire balance in full every single month, or if you're like me, every single Friday. Paying interest actually is the opposite of free travel. It means that all of your discount and benefits is negated by that interest you are paying, and it is very harmful to your credit score.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing we need to mention before we get into all the incredible benefits of traveling on points, one of the biggest concerns people have, and it's a very valid concern, it was my biggest concern when I was looking into all of this, I was so afraid that opening credit cards was going to wreck my credit score. I mean, that is absolutely the number one concern I hear from people who are starting out. And I was personally shocked to realize when I dug into all this and started learning years ago, this actually helped my credit score. Because as it turns out, in my personal financial relationship and with my spouse, he had always been the one opening credit cards. Any credit card that we had, he was the one who opened it. So I personally did not open a credit card under my name until my 30s. I had no credit hardly to my name. I had not been building credit myself. So my husband's credit score was actually significantly higher than mine. I was shocked by that because I thought, I've never done anything wrong. I've used a debit card. I never have made any financial mistakes. I thought, I got to be in a really good position. I was shocked that his credit score was higher than mine. But it was because I had never done anything to build my credit. So there wasn't a lot of credit extended to me by any of the banks.
And my story is a little bit different because, actually, it's a lot different because I did get credit cards young, but then I also went through a lot of financial hardship and had a lot of emergencies that led to credit card debt and eventually a very low credit score that I had to work for years to pull myself out of. So I was able to revamp my money habits, my spending habits, my credit habits, and completely change this around. But when I started in Points and Miles, that was when I really saw my credit score jump. That's when I finally got all the way up across the 800 mark. That never happened before, even when I had smart money habits and I had cleaned up all my debt and those kinds of things. So I don't think a lot of people truly understand how credit scores are comprised. They're made up of several different components, such as length of credit history, payment history, credit utilization, and new credit card inquiries. So the most important element, and you will hear us saying this over and over, make your payments on time. That is a huge chunk of your score. That is 35% of your score. The length of your credit history makes up 15% of your score. So we do recommend that you always leave your oldest and first credit card open because it puts a timestamp on your credit history. The length of your credit history is an average. So you do want to make sure that you are maintaining your oldest card so that your average can be as big as possible. When you get a new credit card, you will see a temporary dip. And I know people hate this, but it truly is temporary. It's called a hard inquiry when it pulls your credit, and that does negatively affect your credit just for a small amount of time. However, your score will bounce back up because with a new credit card comes more credit extended to you, which means that your credit utilization ratio is better. And credit utilization is a whopping 30% of your score. So between that and the on-time payments, that's 65% of your score. That is such a huge factor. And banks want to see you use less than 11% of your credit utilization. The majority of people in the world of award travel have credit scores of over 750. And actually, I know quite a few Points and Miles people that have scores over 800. So it truly is a myth, truly is, that this destroys your credit.
Yeah. So hang with us. I know it is a little scary if you've been taught, as I was, that credit cards are bad. But it's really not so much that credit cards are bad. It's just that you have to use them responsibly. And as long as you can pay them off on time and in full monthly, treating them like a debit card, then they hold massive value and they can really be used to your advantage. So let's get into the next big concept. That was a big important thing that I know everybody has that concern. So we wanted to address it. But here's the next big concept in points and miles, and that is transferable points. When you have a travel credit card from any of the major banks, Chase, Capital One, American Express, Citi, those travel credit cards earn points or miles that can be used in many ways. They are flexible point currencies. They can be cashed in. And this is what a lot of people, before they get into points and miles, they think of any rewards from their credit card as something that they just cash in for statement credits or maybe cash in for gift cards. But these flexible point currencies, they can be used in a bank's travel portal, or they can be transferred out to any number of travel partners. And this is actually what brings the most value.
Oh, yes. This is kind of our favorite thing ever. Let me give you an example. I have a Chase Sapphire Preferred. This is one of the cards we recommend a lot. It's a great starter card. And when I earn Chase Ultimate Rewards, which is Chase's currency, I could cash them in as a statement credit, or I could use them to book travel in Chase's travel portal. And that often has a little bit better value than just cashing them in as a statement credit. Or, and here's the magic, I could transfer those same points out to a travel partner. And every bank has a list of travel partners. Chase's includes Southwest Airlines, United, IHG Hotels, or our personal favorite over here on the Wonderland on Points podcast, Hyatt Hotels. You will hear us talk about them a lot. They are one of the most beloved hotel partners because the value is extraordinary. So as you dig into this more, you're going to see that transferring your points to some of the partners can maximize the value, giving you way more value than cashing them in for a statement credit.
We can give you a million examples of this, and you are going to see that over the course of time. If you are listening to this podcast, you're going to hear stories from guests that we have on. They love to share examples of how they've used points and miles to travel all around the world. But here's a starting example, okay, with Hyatt Hotels, because that's a really easy place to start and see value. So number one, note that when you use points to book hotel nights with Hyatt, you don't have to pay any extra taxes and fees. So when you pay for a night at a Hyatt hotel with points, you truly pay zero out of pocket, which is one of the many reasons we love it. So yes. I stayed in New York City during the holidays. When nights are extremely expensive in New York City, we're talking over $1,100 for one night. And I used just 29,000 Hyatt points for that night. Now, this is going to sound confusing, but you're going to get it here and eventually. That's about a 3.7 cents per point value for that redemption. Now, cents per point is a common metric people use to assign a monetary value to an award redemption. We don't personally on this podcast think it's the only thing that you should care about when you're making a redemption, but it is helpful for seeing that you are, in fact, getting much more value from your points than you would if you were cashing them in, which would say, give me only 1 cent per point in value. Or if I used them for a gift card or something like that, it could be even less than 1 cent per point value. By transferring my points from the bank to Hyatt and booking that hotel, I tripled, almost quadrupled the value of points compared with cashing them in, which is what most people do before they have an understanding of the value in award travel.
Yes. And I have another example for you. Now, this was from a different currency. This was from American Express, and it was a transfer that is actually no longer available. But just to give you an idea of the value in transferring, I used 7,000 points, which if you ascribed a dollar amount to that would be worth about $70 in a portal. And I used it to book a $413 flight to St. Kitts. That is the value of transferring. That is insane. $70 cashed out in a portal versus $400.
This is why we love points and miles. This is why we get so excited about award travel. So the next thing you may be thinking is, okay, how do I pick the right card to get started? Because you're here because you're curious. Okay, now you're seeing the value in this. But where do you really start? Which card? And that answer is going to be different for every person. We love for people to have a travel goal in mind, if possible, because you can almost reverse engineer your trip based on which hotel or airline that you need to book for your trip. Because each bank has a different set of transfer partners. Some of them overlap, say Flying Blue, which is Air France and KLM. A lot of the banks transfer points to Flying Blue, but not every airline or hotel partner is like that, okay? So in general, if you aren't sure what hotel you need to stay at or what airline you'll be needing, simply starting with a transferable points card is the way to go. You don't necessarily want to pigeonhole yourself in, especially at the beginning, with any specific hotel or airline card. Those cards are valuable. They have their place in this whole award travel game, but they're not generally going to be the best place to start because you need a flexible point currency card.
Absolutely. So we really love the Capital One Venture or even the Venture X cards for beginners, depending on your specific needs. Those cards earn 2x points on all purchases, and that's just your baseline. And there's also a few multiplier categories, but 2x the points generally is really, really great. It's also a good idea to start there because Capital One has a lot of really picky rules with their approvals. So if you've already signed up for a couple of cards this year, they might not approve you, which is why we recommend getting their card first before you go on to another bank. You will hear a lot of people recommend Chase first because Chase has a set of picky rules as well. But we actually find that Capital One is a little bit more stringent. And so we like you to start there first because you definitely don't want to miss out on the Venture or Venture X. Capital One also has some really great transfer partners and something called the Travel Purchase Eraser, which doesn't bring as much value as the cents per point we were talking about earlier when it comes to transferring versus booking in a portal. But it's so easy and flexible and a really great place to start for beginners because you can erase things like rental cars, taxes and fees, Airbnbs. So it really rounds out your entire points and miles game and is such a great addition to your wallet. So the next question is Venture or Venture X? And we have done some deep dive episodes about both of these cards that you can go back and listen to. In my points journey so far, I've chosen the regular Venture with a lower annual fee. That's what's made sense for me when I was applying based on my budget, where I live, whether or not my airport has a lounge. The cards have different annual fees and they also have different perks.
Yeah. And speaking of the annual fees, that's something important to bring up because annual fees are scary. And when I first got into points and miles, I was terrified of annual fees. But as you get into this hobby, you will learn that most travel cards that have big fees also have a lot of great benefits to offset the fee. So you may end up being more interested in some of these high annual fee cards than you think at the beginning. You'll have to look into it and weigh the pros and cons for yourself. But for me, I did choose to go with the Venture X. Now, since I got my Venture X, Capital One has introduced some family of card language that restricts kind of the order you get your cards just a little bit. But let me tell you why I chose the Venture X when I did. It had a $395 annual fee, and that is still the annual fee at the time of this recording. Things are always changing. That would have terrified me starting out. But here's what offsets it. You get a $300 yearly travel credit. So that's a big chunk of that big scary fee that's kind of like prepaying for some of my travel throughout the year. It doesn't just evaporate as a fee that I get nothing for. It's more like I'm putting a down payment towards all sorts of travel for the year.
Yes.
And then you get 10,000 Capital One miles on your anniversary of having the card. And that 10,000 Capital One miles has a minimum value of $100. So depending on how you use those miles. The card also comes with TSA PreCheck, which is about $85 in value. And then my favorite benefit of the card, and probably the reason I chose it, is because I live in the DC area, Washington, DC area, where I have multiple airports that have Capital One lounge options. So for me, as someone who flies frequently, I can save a ton of money every year by going into those lounges when I'm taking a flight. So when I, you know, airport food costs a ton.
It's very crazy. Expensive.
It's so crazy. So if you spend $20 in the airport on food every single time you fly versus I can go in a lounge and I spend $0 on food when I fly, that's where the value came in for me. And because of where I live and the proximity to these Capital One lounges, the frequency at which I would be using lounges, that's why I'm glad the VentureX card, it's the right card for me.
Right. I don't have lounges where I live, so it definitely was not the right choice for me. So another favorite beginner card, as I already mentioned, would be Chase cards, specifically the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Chase Sapphire Reserve. So the Reserve is the higher tier, higher annual fee of the two. You really need to look into both and see what makes sense for you and your family. But what we love about these cards is that they give you access to absolutely fantastic transfer partners. And these are the one out of all of the major banks that include our beloved Hyatt as a transfer partner. You cannot transfer from any other major banks to Hyatt. It is so easy to see value quickly in award travel when you do your first couple of redemptions transferring to Hyatt and booking hotels. So this is a great beginner step when you're booking your first trip. You earn a bunch of Chase points. You can transfer to Southwest or JetBlue for your domestic flights and then to Hyatt for your hotels. And that is an awesome way to quickly see a fun free trip from your first signup bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. One word of caution here, one tip before you dive in and apply for any of these cards or any travel credit card, whatever card you decide is right for you. And this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but we typically don't recommend that people add a spouse as an authorized user on a new credit card. Why? I know you're thinking that seems weird. Of course, my spouse is going to use my card if you have one. During the sign-up process, it may ask you if you want to add an authorized user. Just skip that. You can always add them later if you want, but there's some really good reasons not to do it right away. The first is that it's going to show up on their credit report and could make it tougher for them in turn to sign up for travel credit cards. It really helps to have a partner in this hobby because two people can earn a lot more points quickly than one person. But if you're adding them as an authorized user to cards that you're applying for, they won't be able to apply and get approved for as many cards on their own. It doesn't mean they can't apply and get that card that they're an authorized user on. It's just it takes little dings to their credit score. It limits their points earning potential right now. So this concept, just to file it away in your brain as you start learning more about award travel, is called Player One, Player Two. When you join groups, when you're learning more online about this, you're going to see reference to P1, P2. That's talking about working together with a partner to earn more points. So one person signs up for a credit card, maybe they refer their spouse, then that person signs up for the same credit card. You both earn a big chunk of points, and then together, y'all have a huge stash to go traveling with.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want people to lose hope, though. If you do not have a player two, I have done this game almost entirely on my own all of the time I've been doing it. My husband has only opened one credit card and gotten one sign-up bonus, and everything else that I've done has been all on my own. So you can do this as a P1 solely. Another reason, though, to piggyback on top of the authorized user thing, that you do not want to add an authorized user right at the beginning is that you could get perks for adding them later. And a really good example of this is it's very common to see American Express offer you 10,000 membership rewards points to add an authorized user. You won't get anything if you add them right away during your application most of the time, but This is something that I did when my daughter turned 13. I added her as an authorized user to my American Express Gold card and got 10,000 points for that. So if you have healthy financial habits, you're paying off your cards, this is also a good way to start teaching your kids about credit cards and start working on building them some credit.
Okay, that is a lot for today, guys. We just dug in hard and gave you a lot of the basics. Just to recap, it's great to have a transferable point currency card. You can get one from any of the major banks, these travel cards that have transfer partners, so that when you earn their rewards, you can, instead of cashing them in on statement credits, you can transfer them out to hotel or airlines to really maximize the value.
Yes. And just to remind you, this will not ruin your credit score. We are not advocating that you go into debt, and we are not financial advisors. So please proceed with caution and at your own risk. Do your own research and make your own decisions. But we are here thrilled to teach you what we have learned, because our families have been so incredibly blessed by this hobby. We're really excited to teach you. We're really excited that you're here. And if you are interested in learning more about this, there are lots of places you can plug in. Head down to our show notes, where you will find both of our personal Instagram pages where you can follow us. You will find the link to our Facebook group. That is a super good place to get engaged, ask questions, look for inspiration from other people's trips and redemptions. You can also visit us at our website on wonderlandonpoints.com, where you can find our backlog of episodes. We have close to 200 episodes at this point with amazing guests, amazing redemption stories, teaching you the ins and outs of the points and miles world. It's a great place to catch up on all of that. We are so excited that you are here with us on this amazing journey.
We can't wait to keep teaching you more. We can't wait to teach you about shopping portals, all the tips and tricks that we have learned along the way. Thank you for being here. Hit subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.